John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, here we go, and a good morning to you all. It is that time for Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Very, very well.
Running into people that listen to your show. They all say between 8 and 9 Friday morning.
I understand.
So but other than that.
Hey, listen, we'll take anything we can get. If it's between 8 and 9 on Fridays, that's okay by me. All right, where do we start? I guess we start with what happens Monday if the state shuts down to New York City. Anything?
Well, number one, Joe Bruno, the head of our Office of Emergency Management, has contingency plans. He looks at everything. That's his job. Was supposed to be. I think, number one, I don't think they'll do it. Who knows? And I don't think anybody really knows. Nobody thinks that they will tell the guards at the state prisons
to walk
stay
off.
Home
right.
And let the prisoners shift themselves. And you can go all the way from that. Keep in mind, the state government provides police services for an awful lot of upstate counties, whereas in the case of New York City, the NYPD doesn't get affected. There are some state agencies here. The MTA has its own budget, presumably would not be affected. I assume the Department of Motor Vehicles, their offices would be closed and you couldn't register your car or get a driver's license, that kind of stuff. If it went on for a long time, then there are serious consequences to the city. If it were to happen overnight, fundamentally, New York City residents would go about their business and not know it. I mean, there's nothing we can't cover short term. Is it the right thing for them to do? You know, I was up in Albany. I went to see the Republican and Democratic leaders of both the Assembly and the Senate and the governor, so five different people. With staff, and then I talked to each of them for a couple seconds privately. And I said, look, it's not our job to tell you how to solve your budget problems. We weren't elected to do that. You were elected to do that. You've got to do it, and I can't help you with the politics or anything else. But here's what would happen to us if you cut or don't cut or cut this amount versus that amount. We fundamentally get money from the state for Medicaid and for education. If you look at the city's budget for police, it's $8.5 something like that billion, almost all city taxpayer funds. If you look at our budget for education, it's $21 billion, but only about 11 from the city, 10 from the state. We also have a problem all of a sudden, which we hadn't counted on, from the federal government. Federal government helps pay Medicaid. They've been paying more, bigger percentage of Medicaid. There's something called FMAP, Federal Medicaid Assistance, whatever it is.
Program.
And they, in their latest set of bills, it was in the Senate bill to continue it for 6 months and in the House bill to continue it for 6 months, and the leadership of both said, don't worry about it. So we've got to make estimates, and we put it in our budget. The city, it means $600 million, but it's worse than that because it's $2 billion to the state. And when the state cuts back, remember, they're going to cut monies to the city. That's the only place they can get any money. So it's worse than the $600 million. But that we would get cut back. But in any case, that is in our budget because nobody thought it would get dropped out. What did happen, I think, was that after both the Senate and the House bill were passed and before they went to conference, some of the Blue Dog Democrats, who are this group of more usually Southern, more conservative Democrats in the House, I guess must have pressured the leadership to bring a new bill up that would replace theirs, and that wasn't in that. And the New York delegation didn't or couldn't, I don't know which, stop the bill from being passed and getting rid of the old bill. Now everything's up in the air. I've talked extensively. Chuck Schumer is really leading the charge on the Senate side and has been very helpful. Hopefully he and I've talked to some senators on both sides of the aisle trying to explain to them how the impact on us. And there's about 30 states that are in exactly the same situation because everybody has to assume something. You have to make estimates. You have to make assumptions. And when everybody assures you, then you just put it in. On the House side, I talked to Anthony Weiner yesterday, who's been very helpful. I called him and talked to Gary Ackerman the day before. We had, as you know, last week a meeting of the New York delegation with Shelley and John Sampson and David Pattison and myself and Chris Quinn and then the New York congressional delegation. But they've got to pressure the leadership to get it get that money back in. If we don't get the money, we're going to have a budget hole, and we will get through this. The city is, I keep saying this, we are in good shape in the context of tough economic times. We started 3 or 4 years ago cutting back and putting money away, and that's not to say to anybody that we can't, that we're not going to have to cut things. We are. But we're not going to go bankrupt. What's really worrisome is next year. For example, next year, our Department of Education, who this year got $800 million in stimulus funds to maintain the education system, that's not there. There's no new stimulus bill. And my guess would be, given the temper of the times in Washington at the moment, they're probably not going to pass another stimulus bill. So
what do all of these states and cities do?
Well, the people who think the government is too big say they'll cut back and stop doing everything, make either or choices. And there's nothing wrong. That's exactly what the city is doing. The city is making either or choices. I've said, we're not going to give a raise to teachers, but we will not have to lay off teachers. I've said we're going to have to cut everybody, including the police department, but not so much that they have to cut the number of officers on the streets. I mean, we have to make choices. And people say, well, if you do it for them, you got to do it for us. I'm sorry, those days are gone. Well, it's a pattern. I'm sorry, those days are gone. And so those that think that we shouldn't have this big government, I guess this is, they think that there's nothing wrong with this. There is the problem that Congress and the president has, and, to some extent, it's the president's problem and people hold him accountable, although it's Congress that draws a lot of these, makes a lot of these laws, and I'm a little bit sympathetic to the president. There's only a certain amount that he can do. He can ask them, he can cajole, he can threaten, but in the end, they pass the laws. The recovery is in New York City better than any place else, as far as I can see. New York City is doing well. Not enough to solve our budget problems. That's a longer-term thing, but we should be pleased that our tourism hasn't really gone down and the number of Wall Street jobs cut back were only two-thirds of what were predicted. And when you talk to store owners, I talked to one fashion designer the other day, and he said May was the best month he's ever had in New York City, not in the rest of the country. So that tells you. And a recovery, what people talk about, economists, are a jobless recovery. And I think to some extent you're seeing the effect of a poor public education system across this country, that companies are able to do more with fewer workers. And there is a great demand for skilled workers, but if you don't have skills, you're in trouble. And, it's a societal problem that we have to address. Older people, their skill sets get antiquated with time, and how you reengage them in education is a challenge. Younger people, if they drop out of school, their prospects are really dismal and getting worse. If you think about it, there's almost no job that you don't have to have some real skills, the skills that are required to get a high school diploma or a GED. I was talking a few years ago to a steel worker. And we're talking about skills needed to go into his business. And he jokingly said, well, they start out, the junior guy goes and gets coffee. If the guy can't make change and count and write down a list and order the right sandwiches, we don't want him on our team. He said, but more importantly, he said, I'm up there 50 stories above the ground. I'm on one end of the beam. I want the smartest guy in the world on the other end of that beam or running the crane. I don't want somebody that's got his job for, because he knew somebody or we just felt sorry for him. It's my life up there. And that's a dramatic example. But going forward in this country, unless we do something about public education, which is why, as you know, I've focused on it here, it's also true that what's happening to us is the best and the brightest are not being allowed into this country. We give graduate education to people who are going to invent the next great drug or the next great technology, and we don't give them a green card.
Let me ask you about that, because you've mentioned it on a regular basis. Is it, and it connects to what you just said prior to that, is it that our educational system is not generating the best and the brightest?
There's two education systems. The public education system in the United States is way behind lots of other developed countries. The graduate education, college and graduate school and postdocs, far and away the best in the world, and even close. And when people say, well, China's graduating 25,000 engineers a week and we do 25,000 a month, you got to be very careful, because their definition, you know, a gas station attendant could very well be defined as an engineer there, and that's not what we call it. So if you put it on a comparable basis, you want to get your college or post-college graduation.
So the pre-college, the high school, isn't doing the job, isn't getting the job done.
The public education system in this country is abysmal. We all know that. The kids go to school less and learn less than they do in, not every, but lots of developed countries. Now, that doesn't mean that the best and the brightest come from the other countries. There could be some, you know, if you're talking about one guy wins a Nobel Prize here, even if he went to a school where 10,000 kids couldn't read, he still wins the Nobel Prize for something. But our public education is not good. We have worked very hard in New York City. It is New York City's public school system, we say it was dysfunctional when we came into office, and that's true. But it still was better than the other big city public schools in school systems in this country, which is really a disgrace. We have, through an awful hard work of the teachers and the principals and the management and the taxpayer who's reaching their pocket, all together, we have made it a lot better. Does every kid that graduate high school in New York City have the skills to be a success? No. We keep saying to the state, raise the standards, and Merrill Tisch has talked about doing that. As a matter of fact, for summer school, the state hasn't given us the results of the last set of tests. We've got to decide right now who goes, who gets held back. Remember, we don't have social promotion. Who has to go to summer school? Kind of hard to do when you don't have the test results.
And we're
making some estimates, and we're saying, kids, you got to go. Now, what happens down the road if it turns out that the state didn't make it harder, which is what they said they do, and we're assuming that that it will be harder, and therefore more kids will be left back, and more kids will have to go to summer school. As long as, I mean, if they don't do that, then I don't know. We'll have said some kids, you have to go to summer school, and it turns out they would normally, and they wouldn't have had to if the results came back early. But, you know, it's not so bad. If we make a mistake that they get extra education, come on.
There was a story this week about some of those tests getting partial, you know, being scored.
I don't know how much. You got to remember when you read this stuff, you don't know how much of it. Some of that stuff is from 20 years ago. Some of it is made up. Some of it is from people who just don't know what they're talking about. Some of it from people that have an agenda. And some of it's true. And so, you know, it's not quite so easy. And you can arguably say, Yes, I can add, okay? I learned it a long time ago. If I added 100 sets of numbers and made one mistake, does that mean I can't add? No. So, you know, I mean, there's another way to look at that. If you say 2 and 2 is 9 and give them partial credit because at least they knew that addition was trying to come up with a sum of two numbers, even if they couldn't come, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. So, but the bottom line is, to disparage everything that our teachers have been doing and our principals have been doing and everybody, all the support staff and what the public's been paying for, is just not fair to them. And also, you know, we're unfortunately, it's happening in Washington as well with all this stuff. Why, if everything you do is people find fault with, why do you do it? You just, nobody needs that aggravation. We all want recognition, respect, and here we're going after the heads of some of these companies. The guy that runs BP didn't exactly go down there and blow up the well. And what's more, if you want them to fix it and they're the only ones with the expertise, I think I might wait to look assign blame until we get it fixed. I don't want them focusing on anything other than the lawyers. I want them focusing. Sure. So, you know, but unfortunately, and it's not any one person or one party or one branch of government. It's we're looking. Everybody's got, there's got to be somebody that's culpable in everything. Come on.
It's an atmosphere that, as you say, is what creates the dysfunction.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, let me take a break. We've gone very long here, Mr. Mayor. We're coming right back. 800-321-0710. We'll give you an opportunity to talk with the mayor and ask the question. All right. We went very long, so we don't have much time here in this segment. But, Mr. Mayor, let me keep the theme open on education. It's reported and anticipated today that some 2,000 high school students will be leaving class to demonstrate ultimately on the steps of City Hall over their free Metro cards.
Well, the city puts in $45 million towards paying for those, and we have not cut that back one penny. I've cut back police, fire, everything else, not that. So, you know, that's all we can do. We are not going to make up for the state. We just cannot do that under any circumstances. So maybe they should be at the state capitol steps and not at the city hall steps.
How about leaving school?
You know, we just talked about what you need to do to succeed. If I were a kid and look at what's going on out there, I look at college graduates this year and how tough it is to get a job, I think I might say, you know, maybe I could get a little more education because I don't want to spend the rest of my life not being able to make a living. I would like to enjoy the great things that America offers, but you know, you have to have an education. The great things aren't necessarily things money can buy, but great things are a chance to make a difference. And for that, you have to have an education. And it's pretty hard to find anything you don't need an education for. So I would argue that they'd be better off in class for their own point of view. And they're barking up the wrong tree, is the old expression. And if there's a couple of unions that say, oh, we're not supporting them, but if they encourage or go along, that's supporting. And I saw one of our elected officials is out there with them. That this is, you know, it's good theater and makes them feel good, but it doesn't put any pressure on Albany. Only if they go, they should go and picket their representatives in Albany, their assembly people or their senators, if they feel that they aren't doing the job. And, you know, I'm not a...
Most of them don't vote.
Well, that's another problem. They're too young, but even when they get elected, when they get old enough, they don't. You know, and I'm not here to criticize the senators and the assembly people in Albany. They've got to make decisions, either or, and you can have a legitimate debate whether or not they should. What is unfair, it's true, that the state pays for bus service for kids in all the other counties and now doesn't want to pay for it for kids in New York City. If we had better mass transit, it would make it easier. But the MTA is really up against it. They don't have these additional revenue sources, one of which the city had proposed, and some other people have proposed other ones. The steps of City Hall, it's nice theater. It's good weather. I hope they have a good time. If I were them, I'd just think long and hard someday. If I didn't pass a test, I always go back and wonder, was it that afternoon when I was trying to be, you know, cute and be out there and picketing? It was better than being in class. Was that the day I could have learned that one little fact that would have got me that test, would have got me into that better school, would have got me the better degree, would have got me the better job?
Yeah, but you did that 40 years later.
Should have, would have, and could have, yeah. You know. But I have sympathy for elementary school kids that don't know, maybe even junior high school kids. High school kids in our day and age are old enough to make, they have faced with real decisions. They've got to decide whether to have sex out of wedlock, whether to get married, whether to hang around with guys and women who have guns and in gangs. They've got to decide whether or not to do drugs. There are real high stakes tests that are, it's just in our world that our high school students are facing. And to say that they should understand their the impact of not getting an education is not unreasonable. I was with Arnie Duncan. We went to visit some schools, and you talk to these sixth graders and fifth graders, and you say, why are you doing this? We have more homework. Why? Because I can get a better education. Kids at that age understand.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, let's take a break here.
22 now before 9, 800-321-0710. If you've got a question, I see we got one line open here. Mr. Mayor, where are you on this question of the lighting of the Empire State Building from Mother Teresa?
It's a private company that owns the building, and I guess they've got to make their decision as to what they want to do. My advice to them would be consistent. You can have a policy against doing people or yes, always doing people or whatever. I'm sympathetic that you can't do it for everybody. And what do you do when somebody that you don't like or violently disagree with has to be honored? How do you say no? That's why City Hall, you know, we're very careful about a lot of the things, because once you start down some paths, it's very slippery. I don't want to make this any more controversial than it is. I think the building management's got to listen to the public and make their own decisions.
The judge in the 9/11 health bill.
Yep.
You happy with the deal?
Yeah, I mean, we have, the federal government gave us lots of money after 9/11, not as much as we need, and certainly not enough to take care of those who worked first in the rescue and then the recovery effort, and really did have their health damage. There's no question about that. There's a lot of people dying from this. Part of the monies they gave us was specified by federal law to be an insurance company. Not to be a fund, but to be an insurance company. And one of the things we have to make sure is that there's money down the road if 10 years from now somebody comes up and with a illness that really did come from, you have to have money available. So we can't just give it all out, which is what some people want. There was an agreement before the city, the private companies. The private companies that went in and sent their employees in, you know, if they get tagged with all of the liabilities, they're just out of business, number one. That's not good. Create a big hole in the city, a lot of jobs at stake and a lot of construction companies we need. But also, the next time there was a disaster in this company, in this country, no company would send their employees in. That's why you have things like Good Samaritan laws to say, look, if you're acting in good faith, run the risk, you're going to be protected from a suit afterwards, but we can't sit there and have you consult your lawyers when somebody's gasping for breath. Give them the Heimlich maneuver, and we'll make sure you're okay. So it's the companies, it's the fact that we have to have some money for the future. The plaintiffs, their lawyers, and in theory, I don't know how true it is in practice, but in theory, their lawyers work for them, and they had asked for certain fees, which may or may not have been reasonable. Part of it's what you think is right. Part of it's what's convention, whatever. The judge said the legal fees were too high and there was not enough money, so everybody kicked in or cut back a little bit. This time the judge said, okay. Now, keep in mind, 95% of the people still have to say yes. But if they say no, then I think they're just involved in enormous litigations for most of these people will not live long enough.
The city takes a piece of this action, right? Or is this all federal money?
Mostly federal money.
It is mostly federal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is as good a deal, and I thought the judge said that. Look, may not be perfect, but this is, and the editorial pages that I read this morning said the same thing. This is the best deal. Take it, or the alternative is just not good. Whether it's fair, whether it's perfect, those are nice things. But if you've got somebody who's sick and, you know, their family needs to be taken care of if they die or they need help, they should do this. Now, keep in mind, the city does have some programs in Carolyn Maloney. We're depending on to get a bill passed in Congress, which she has, in all fairness, been working on very hard, to get federal monies to pay for health care for these people who, you know, we argue it was an attack on the nation. It took place here, but whatever. That's a separate thing. That's, we still need that bill passed, but this would go a long way, since it's the right thing to do given the real world.
Do you think that the deficits that we are running up, and I'm not talking about the state or the city at the moment, but the country, does it matter?
Yeah, sure, it matters. The issue is how much and when. Our balance sheet arguably could be worse than you could make it, make the case that it's worse than Greece's, depending on how you want to look at it. We, however, are probably too big to fail, and Greece is not. So it's a different standard. And you can say, well, if every country inflates their currency, then does it matter? But long term, yes, it matters. And I think you see all of a sudden the country thinking that. In Congress, all of a sudden, there's this issue, if we can't cut something else, we're not going to vote any new monies. Everything's got to be paid for. Now, they've had rules to do that. When the Democrats came in, they had another set of rules where you got to cut something to pay for it or raise taxes to pay for it. They're not going to raise taxes because of the politics. They're not going to cut anything because of the politics. And so if you've got a program where you need new monies, all of a sudden, and that's one of our problems with this Medicaid money.
What?
That they say, oh, yeah, everybody needs it, but where's it going to come from? We've got to cut something. What do we cut? Well, it's easy to add. It is very difficult. The politics of cutting are very different than the politics of adding, and it's not a Republican or Democratic thing. It is more a geographical thing. If in your state you get hurt or you get helped, then that's the ways the local, the senators and the congressmen from that state generally vote. Not all the time, but generally. So deficits certainly matter, and you know the president has said so. I mean, the trouble is, when you have programs that the expenses are now and the savings are down the road, nobody really, it's hard to believe, is a nice way to phrase it, that those savings will ever be there. When we put in something that says we're not, you have an escalator on Social Security. If there's inflation, your rates, your reimbursement or the payments you get automatically go up. When we're not having inflation, there's pressure to raise them anyways. And if you had deflation, can you really picture the federal government cutting Social Security payments? I don't think so.
Well, what about this health care thing that nobody really knows
much
about?
There is a crisis in health care. Congress and the president worked together and did come up with a bill which was passed by a majority. Whether it solves the problems, only time will tell. I think the president enunciated at the very beginning what the real problem. I thought he enunciated very well what the problems were. We are going to bankrupt ourselves eventually with all of these programs. You can't have 25% of your GMP going to health care. And at the same time, there's a question as to whether or not we're spending our money wisely. If you take a look in Western Europe, life expectancy is much higher, and they spend half of what we do. But the trouble with all of these is who's going to ration care in the real political world, and who is going to stop tests that in the aggregate it's not the best use of your money, but you want it, and there are people who have jobs providing it, and there are places that you go to get it, and the politics get in the way. The same thing is true in the military. You know, in the military, we buy planes that the Air Force doesn't want. There's this movement for a second engine for the F-35. It'll cost a few billion dollars or billions of dollars by the time they get done to develop it. One manufacturer who's got the contract for it, it was a competitive contract, they want it, Pratt & Whitney, I think it was, they say, just keep buying our engines. Then the guy who lost, I think it was GE, they say, no, you need to have a second supplier in case Pratt & Whitney goes out of business or the engine stops working. And so the tanker, which is one of the great disgraces. Our pilots of our bombers and fighters are up there. They need to get refueled, and they've got to go look for a tanker that was built 30 years ago. In this day and age, you want better technology and more capabilities. And the first one, McCain takes the credit, I guess. There was such corruption. People were leaving Boeing, I think it was, to go to work in the industry. So they rebid it. Then they rebid it, and it turns out that an overseas company, which was building planes in the United States, so it wasn't exactly overseas in that context. It has nothing to do with overseas versus here. It's your company versus mine. And so, you know, there are people who represent Boeing, which I think is a great company, incidentally. Boeing is one of the economic drivers of our country, but we want to make sure we can export. If you shut out foreign competition from coming in, that sounds good. It's good for American jobs for companies that sell here, but not good for American jobs for companies that sell elsewhere. Free markets are like free speech. Either you want it, and even when it's distasteful, you still put up with it, or you don't.
All right, this weekend there's a bunch of things going on Sunday. You've got the Puerto Rican Day Parade, but you also have the Tonys Sunday night.
Tonys, absolutely. This is the 6th annual Tony Awards, 64th annual. And our Office of Media and Entertainment, headed by the great Catherine Oliver, has worked with the Broadway League to again have the show simulcast on a Times Square Jumbotron. If you're going to have a fun place to watch, that would be it. Hopefully the weather will be good. Broadway supports something like 80,000 jobs and contributes nearly $10 billion to our city's economy. This week we gave Made in New York awards to people who made television or movies in the city. Angela Lansbury was there. God, I was a thrill. I mean, who knew? I never grew up in a world where I thought I would know somebody like Angela Lansbury.
And she has been doing it forever.
You Google her. She's been around for a while. It's a nice way. And she looks great and is smart as a whip and with it. And she's one of the great actresses. And it's one of these people, like, when 20 years from now, assuming you and I are still alive, we'll look back and say, we knew her. Anyways, this is going to be a lot of fun. Broadway, the two plazas, basically, Times Square, Herald Square. I saw Rebney put out this, Real Estate Association put out the study, storefront rentals on Broadway and 7th Avenue in Times Square and Herald Square. Last 6 months, up something like 70%. You think those street closers haven't worked out businesses? off the charts.
How about that? Isn't that something else? Well, we got a whole chart of people here that have some questions for you, Mr. Mayor. We will get to them. And Bill Rock, we now include some of our listeners. We're going to start with Lewis. Hello, Lewis. You've got the mayor's ear. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, Mr. Gambling. Mr. Mayor, you just mentioned recently in part of this interview regarding cutting firefighters and firefighters and police to help make up budget shortfalls. What about cutting the size of government itself? I know that can be an easy question, but what about reducing the size of City Hall, cutting some of the jobs that have been created at City Hall and other bureaucratic agencies within the city, and help cutting and saving money in that regard?
Well, we keep doing that, and keep in mind that the staff is what provides the management, and if you don't have good management, then you don't get all the productivity out of people that they manage that will make the city function. And the bottom line is that 80% of the city budget goes for police, fire, sanitation, correction, and education. And everybody says those are five agencies you can't cut. And 80% of their budgets are salaries and pensions and health benefits. So if you got to cut back in any meaningful sense, those five agencies can't be exempt. And when you're cutting those agencies, it's the employees in those agencies you cut. And nobody thinks that we should have bloated staffs anyplace. There are some managers that probably don't work very hard and aren't doing a very good job, and there are plenty of people that they subsidize. Probably are some people that they manage who do the same thing. But generally speaking, I can tell you my experience with the 300,000 employees from top to bottom in this city are that they are flexible, they work hard, they care, they're dedicated, and there are some bad apples. You can't have 300,000 of anything without that. So, you know, this city does pretty well with the people that they work for, and they get reasonably well paid given the reality of how much taxpayers are willing to spend. But I don't think you can sit there and say we can't cut. Everybody says, well, cut the other guy's stuff. Don't cut the things I care about. I've said we're not going to have fewer cops because there was a worry that crime is going up. In fact, crime is down for the ninth year in a row. And we have about 15 or 16, something like that, murders more than we did at this time last year. But that just makes this the second safest year from a lowest murder rate up through now rather than the first. And we'll see what happens in the next 7 months. It may be that, or 6 months, it may be that we can set a new record. I hope so. It's you know, it's certainly within striking distance. In terms of every other agency, you know, you can't just say automatically. If we've got to move people around, we've got to find ways to improve the efficiency of government. That's why I brought in Stephen Goldsmith. And we'll find ways to combine and to consolidate. And we got to make sure the government is not being run for the people it employs. The government's supposed to be run for the people that it serves. And the ways you do that is to have a well-paid, happy, flexible workforce. But they can never get paid as much as they'd like. And we're always going to have to make either-or choices. And I think one of the real differences today compared to the past, people said, oh, it's the pattern. People said, oh, you can't cut back. People said, oh, you've got to keep going with every program. Those days are gone. We just can't do that anymore.
All right, let's move along here. Let's go to Fred on line five here. Fred, go ahead.
Good morning, Your Honor, and the Mayor. I understand the rule about not allowing adults in playgrounds unless accompanied by children, but is it fair, for example, for a husband who wants to meet his wife and child in the park? He couldn't because of this rule.
I don't know. I mean, the parks have rules in certain playgrounds to keep adults who don't have children with them, just because we live, unfortunately, in a world where a handful of people want to take advantage of our children, and so we have some safety rules. And I'll grant you that there are always situations where they're illogical, but you have to have the rules. So, you know, it's a shame that we live in a society where we have to have things like that, but that's why they're there for.
All right, Tony, real fast, you've got the mayor. Go.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I'm glad you guys started off the conversation this morning with Medicare and Medicaid.
Yep.
Please hear me out on this issue. I'm an intelligent 36-year-old
man. Okay,
we've
only got less than a minute.
Okay, why do I see people who walk around with furs, jewelry, and drive Lexuses using benefit cards when I'm walking around with the same pair of
people? Well, if it's against the law, we should be going after them. Nobody suggests for any that we should pay benefits to people that don't deserve them. Keep in mind, most of the benefit law don't have means tests. So Social Security, everybody pays in, and everybody that works pays in. And whether you need the money or not, you can get Social Security. That's just the way the law was written. And, you know, having a means test provides its own problems. But you're right that we'd be better off if people that didn't need it didn't get it. But I think the political reality, Tony, is that's what the law is, and probably nobody's going to change it.
All right, Mr. Mayor, that's going to be it. We've run out of time again. Have yourself a good time at the parade, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg right here on the John Gambling.